Zero to Book is brought to you by Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing and sales podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
A lot of people aspire to write a book. Maybe you do, but you probably know it's a complex process. Zero to Book is documenting the journey from start to finish so you can learn how to take your book from an idea to a published product. Listen in as best-selling author Jeff Goins helps Pamela Wilson go from zero to book.
Jeff, I wanted to talk to you today about this concept of sharing your book as you're working on it, sharing it with your audience as you write it. We touched on it a little bit in the last episode, and I just want to get more details about what that looks like. You said you have a friend, Andy Traub, who I also know, who did this pretty successfully, right?
Right. Yeah. I was actually just talking to Andy. So what Andy did was he didn't have much of a platform. I think he had a couple thousand email subscribers on his list. And so some listening to this go, wow, that'd be amazing. And other people are going, that's not much. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, in terms of publishing a best-selling book, that's, you probably want to have a little bit more than that. And, you know, somewhere in the 50 to 100,000 subscriber range. So what he did was he said, I want to write a book. Can't be that hard. And he was drinking the Kool-Aid that I was dispensing. And what happened was I was doing these calls with the students that I teach for my Tribe Writers course. And he was helping me moderate the calls. And he was listening to me talk about how to write a book. And he said, I'm going to try this. I've wanted to write a book for a while about getting up early. So I'm going to do this. So he did some things that I was like, you should do this and this and this. And he did some of those things. And then he did some things that I can't take credit for that really, I think, were necessary and essential to the success of this book that went on to make him a lot of money and reach a lot of people and help a lot of people as a self-published book. So here's what he did. He posted on Facebook, hey, I'm going to write a book, and here's what I'm going to do. If you sign up for my email list, you'll get the whole book for free as I write it. And so every day, I'm going to write something. And I can't remember the frequency. I'm not sure it was every day. It was at least once a week. He would email out people what he had written so far and get feedback on the book while he was writing it. I mean, this is like the extreme example of what we're talking about here. I've actually never done this, and it's really brave. I mean, it's really risky, you know, and he put it all out there.
In his case, it sounds like it made sense because he didn't have a lot of people to market the book to. So exactly. This was a way to really gather an audience around the concept of his book.
Exactly. And to validate the ideas while he was putting them down on paper, on screen. And I think so many of us go into a cave and we spend 6 months, you know, connecting all the ideas before we ever share them. Then you publish the book. That's the first time you share the ideas. And they may not resonate. Or somebody might immediately read that and you didn't think about this other angle and they discredit it or contradict it. And you go, I never thought about that. And so, you know, we're afraid of people stealing our ideas and all this stuff, which, you know, is slightly rational, mostly irrational. But what we don't think about is the cost of not sharing your idea might be that, like, you don't actually validate it. You might have a bad idea and not know it. So he did this, and he did it for, I think, about a month, and he wrote the book in like a month or two, in terms of the, you know, rough draft. And the whole book was about getting up early. So here's what he's doing. He's practicing what he's preaching. He's getting up early, and he's writing about getting up early. And he's sharing it with a community of people who have taken this challenge to get up early. And so he created this Facebook group. He had this email list. And what he had by the end of this experience was a few thousand people who had stuck with him. I mean, he basically doubled the size of his list by giving his book away for free as he was writing it, which cost him nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, people talk all the time now about using Facebook ads and all these different marketing strategies that cost you time, resources, money. This, in a way, didn't cost him anything. And can you imagine, like, building an audience as you're as you're writing a book. And not only are you building an audience, you're building the audience that has an appetite for the thing that you're writing about.
For that specific topic. Yeah, that's what I love about it.
Here's what happened. Here's how it all ended up. Mm-hmm. He did this thing, launched the book. And if you went and bought the book, you could then sign up for an autoresponder series that was basically these emails that he just sent you. And it was the book. It was essentially the book. It was a series of chapters and vignettes delivered over 30 days. And it was, I think it was called the Early to Rise Challenge, was this autoresponder series. You get the book, which is called Early to Rise, and now it's called the Early to Rise Experience. And you got two things, this autoresponder sequence. And then you also got, because Andy is into podcasting, he and I do a podcast together. He's an audio guy. And so he's like, well, I'll record the audiobook too, and you'll get that for free when you buy the book. So here's what's really cool about all this. All these people who already got the book for free, they went out and bought it anyway. A lot of them did. And the rest of them went and told people about it. So he had this huge resource of readers that were engaged in what he was writing. And a lot of them wanted to support the work because they felt a sense of ownership. So they went out and bought it anyway, even though they basically got the book for free. And he had a very large launch team. What I told him was, hey, build a launch team, get a few hundred people to help you spread the word. And he was like, well, I'll just give the book away for free to, 1,000 plus people. And maybe that'll be my launch team. And it was, and it went over like gangbusters. He got on the Dave Ramsey show, and Dave Ramsey told, his 4 million listeners to go buy the book.
Wow.
It was incredible. He made $40,000 in the first couple of months off of it. It changed his life. And he did it by giving away his book. He built an audience around his book while he was writing it, gave it away to them in snippets, and then they went and helped him sell thousands of copies of that thing.
Yeah. Okay. So I hear that, and I can see why it worked for him. I think he was in a situation where he was starting from not a huge list and he needed to build that. But I think people are in other situations as well. They may already have a list that would be interested. Someone like you, for example, is probably not going to do this. So that's the next thing I want to talk about. I wanted people to know about this technique, the technique that Andy used and that you clearly worked very well for him. But I also want to talk about this other way, this other approach to it. In my situation, and I think probably in your situation, we have access to an audience already. So in that case, I wonder, how do you share the concepts in your book in a way that gives you the feedback that you're looking for and helps you to build interest? So is it like blog posts that share the general concepts and then prompt people to ask questions? Or do you do a blog post? For example, I'm sending an email to my list on Big Brand System asking them to fill out a very short survey this weekend about what's confusing about content marketing. So is it that kind of thing? In a previous episode, we talked about getting your ideas out and then looking for the ones that fit in the book and using the rest as kind of almost as leftovers that you recycle on your blog. So I'd love to understand more about that. If I don't plan to write the book and give it away chapter by chapter, what are my other options?
Right. So here's what I think you should always do. When you hear about somebody doing something and you go, I like their success, I don't know if that process works for me. I have a very wealthy friend who says this when people, basically ask him, how did you become rich? He says, look, don't do what I did. Think like I think.
Mm.
And because the truth is, what he did in that particular situation was really a product of what he thought, his mindset, not necessarily like if you repeat those circumstances, you're going to have his success. I think most people realize that. Like, you got lucky, or that was unique to your particular position. That may or may not work for me. However, what I do believe is that in just about any success, there are principles worth adopting and replicating that can yield similar results. So Andy did this. Leo Babauta did this, who has a huge audience. He did this once where he wrote a book publicly and then went and sold it. And how he did that was he did it on Google Docs and he gave his readers access to it. And people were constantly like leaving notes on the things that, you know, he was doing well, that was resonating, not. And people kind of felt like a sense of ownership, kind of like with Andy. And then people went out and bought the book anyway. And he had such a big audience. It may have been like, well, even if, you know, a certain number of people pirate this, you know, it'll be fine. And I, knowing Leo, he just doesn't care about any of that and just wants to be generous. So the principle and all that stuff is like giving away a chapter of your book when your book comes out is so passé. It's so overdone that it doesn't feel generous. Generosity has to sort of top people's expectations. Michael Hyatt says that wow is when he wrote a blog post once called The How of Wow, and I love that blog post. And he said, wow, the experience of people getting excited about your product, service, whatever, it is what happens not when you meet expectation, but exceed it. Very few people, you know, go on like an American Airlines flight and go, wow, that was a great experience. If you're listening to this and you've had that, let me know. Like they're known for like just like not killing you and the plane not crashing, which is like pretty good for me. Like I'm okay with that. But wow was always, I expected this, but then you did this and it was amazing and it was just something extra. So that's what generosity is. Generosity is you doing something that is bigger than expected. If you're an author, I expect you to give me your first chapter for free. That's, you know, that's kind of par for the course. So why Andy's thing worked, why Leo's thing worked is because it was so ridiculous. It was so beyond what people would expect that that people were like, wow. And I think there was a sense of reciprocity and they wanted to return that. What worked for him is he got feedback along the way that helped shaped, you know, the product itself. So the principle here is find a way to get feedback from an audience that validates your ideas, that in some way also builds anticipation for the book itself, so that you're basically marketing to them without them really feel like feeling like you're marketing to them. And there's a good chance that a lot of these people are going to go buy the book or talk about it. I think there are a few ways to take that principle and apply it. One way would be to do what we already talked about. Write the book in public, give it away, and see what happens. That's a way to do it. It obviously worked. We just shared a case study in which it worked. You can build a list while you're doing it, and it can work really, really well. The second way to do it is to do what Walter Isaacson did with his most recent book, The Innovators, which is really a book about the computer and the digital age, the digital revolution, starting with the invention of the computer all the way through the internet and why that has changed our world, and tell stories about Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and Alan Turing and all these people. And what he did with that book was he took an idea that was in the book and he applied it in the writing of the book. Here's what I mean by that. So what he realized when he was doing all this research, which is like 10 years of research. Walter Isaacson also wrote the Steve Jobs biography, by the way.
Right.
He realized that no one person invented the computer. It's really hard to say who invented the computer, because what, like, were these mechanical things that were actually computing devices, or these computers, you know, were these analog, you know, machines that they were using that actually couldn't compute the way that modern computers do? Like, who invented the computer and when? And he actually says, well, this is technically when what we call a computer now is when it was invented. But the bottom line is, without this innovation wouldn't have happened, and so on. And so he realizes that it was a communal effort. And the internet was especially this way and continues to be this way. No one person made this thing. Lots of people collaborated to make this thing. And he said, so I need to do that with the book. So what he did was he published a few stories from his book on Medium. And if you use medium.com, you can leave notes, and those notes can be private, so just the author can review them, or they can be public, and other people can see them. And they're kind of like comments, but they're like, they comment on this particular part of the article. So if you said, you know, in 1899, so-and-so said such and such, somebody could highlight that and then comment on it, that particular paragraph, and say, hey, I'm a professor at USC or something, and that's not true. And I, you know, I'm an expert in the year 1899. And that's the kind of feedback that Isaacson got. And so he did that. And then he actually took those pieces down. I would have probably left them, but I don't know. He took those pieces down and then he published the book and it was a success. Probably not because he did that, but that was a cool way for a platformed author, an already successful author, to share his work, to build anticipation for the thing to come. But he said, he said this in an NPR interview. He said, the feedback that he got on those different things that he shared filled in gaps that he couldn't fill with his research from legitimate sources. Lots of people just started chiming in. Maybe because it was Walter Isaacson, maybe because it was the power of medium, maybe a combination of both.
Your mileage may vary, right?
Yeah, right. but the point is, find the principles in these. And so these are different ways to do it. Share a piece of it on a public forum like Medium. So this isn't about digital sharecropping or anything like that. It's about putting something in a channel that people are already using to talk about things and using it to elicit feedback that can help you.
That makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense. And I have to tell you, it sort of answers something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, which is that most of my writing over the past 5 and 6 years has been on a platform that allows feedback. And it's been in a system that's kind of iterative. So you can write about something, you get feedback, you write a follow-up post about it, you get feedback on that, you write something else. So it sort of develops over time and in space, right?
Yep.
And the thing that I keep thinking about books is they're so permanent in a way. Once you've written it, it's like this self-contained package of information, and there's not really a way for it to be iterative, at least not yet in its current form. Maybe they'll figure out a way to have an iterative book down the line. But so it's a change of format for me, and I've been thinking a lot about how can I incorporate that feedback as I'm putting the book together so that when it does become this self-contained package of information, it's got that feedback incorporated into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the best you have are editions, and there are years typically between editions of books. You know, somebody who did this though was Guy Kawasaki. I mean, you can do this a little bit with print on demand. You can iterate on a book, and he did this with his APE book, which is an acronym for author, publisher, entrepreneur. And it's about digital publishing, about print on demand and what it means to be a self-published author these days. And it's a manual for how you can self-publish a book. And he published it directly to CreateSpace, which is Amazon's self-publishing tool. And he had all these different versions. He treated it like software, and he had all these different versions of the book. And they were iterating every couple of months. They were swapping out new versions of the book as new information was made available. And each version, instead of having 1.0, 1.1, whatever, was an author name. And so A was Austin. I can't remember what B was. C was Cialdini. They're all of like his favorite authors. And each new edition of the book was was a different author's name. With Amazon, with CreateSpace, they just kept uploading a new file. And so it automatically, with Kindle, you would just have to update your Kindle and automatically update the file. So, you know, like that's becoming more and more possible digitally. And if they got the Austin version and then the Cialdini version came out of a print version, obviously that wasn't going to update. They'd have to buy a new copy. So I think that you have to iterate on your blog, in a newsletter. You have to share some of that stuff while you're writing it to get that feedback, so that you can be 80-90% sure that most of this is gonna resonate. So, that's a second strategy, what Walter Isaacson did. A third strategy is what you're gonna do, which is involve the audience in part of the research process. I've just started doing this for the book that I'm writing, and this won't work for everybody. But it's fun. It's fun to collect stories and feedback from people who, you know, who represents the message you want to deliver, the story you want to tell. They represent it in some way. So what I'm doing right now is I'm asking for nominations of stories because I like to include everyday, ordinary stories that surprise you because I just think there's so many interesting stories out there that you may not find in a book or on the news that need to be told. The truth is, most of us know these stories. We know somebody who's done something interesting. We know somebody who's used content marketing to, you know, reach dog owners and build a $1 million business. And you go, wow, like that's really interesting and contribute a fascinating anecdote to my overall argument. So I did this with my last book, and I think it was a strength. And I was just like, I think I want some more stories. I want some more illustrations. And so I went to my audience and I said, hey, I want some interesting stories about how people found their calling, discovered their life's purpose. You can send me your story or you can send me somebody else's story. And then people started sending them to me. And I just did this with a tweet yesterday. And I've probably gotten 100 responses.
Wow.
People love to tell their stories. And this is not something, you don't need a large platform to do this. When I wrote my first self-published book, You Are a Writer, so Start Acting Like One, I did this. And I said, hey, I'm working on a book. Does anybody want to read it and give me their thoughts on it? And I got like 50 people to respond. And I got all these people that wanted to help me edit the book and all for free. And I was like, why are you doing this?
Wow.
I didn't have a big platform. I wasn't a known entity or any of that. And I just think writing a book is so interesting to other people. It's something that everybody wants to do. And if you actually do it, people will come out of the woodwork to help you for two reasons. One, I think it's cool for them to think that like they know somebody who's going to do this and they genuinely want to help. Two, they get to participate in something. Like they might get their name and the acknowledgments. They get to be a part of something that makes them feel significant. And you could, I believe this. I believe anybody who's writing a book right now could go to Facebook today. And if you have 150 friends, 300 friends, and you said, hey, I'm writing a book. Anybody want to help me just review it, read it, tell me what you think, or you've got a story to contribute or something. You want to be a part of it in some way. You want to be in my book. You're going to get 5, 10, 20, maybe 50 people to respond. And that is a fun way to use your audience, whatever it might be, because we all have an audience because like your grandma or your next door neighbor, somebody's got to buy your book because they go, I know an author. That's cool. So you've got some audience, however big or small, you can use your audience to help you write the book and also help you build anticipation for it. And the beautiful byproduct that happens as a result of it is you're going to get feedback that will allow you to iterate on the book before it's done, which I think is really, really valuable.
Super helpful, especially because I need to write a post for Copyblogger about Zero to Book about this podcast. So I'm going to be incorporating some of these ideas. I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you so much.
It's fun to talk.